Click, listen, enjoy.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to MASC Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, Kids of All Ages and All Stages for All Mental Health Issues, including Addictions. If you know somebody that needs a referral or a parent support group, feel free to share our number, confidential, and call anonymous at 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a neighbor, a loved one. Maybe it's someone you would usually sit next to in show. And our number, again, is 718-758-0400. And tonight I have with us a friend, a colleague. I'd like to welcome on the show Aliza Trapper. Thank you for making the time for being on our show tonight. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for, I'm really excited to be here and for, you know, just really excited to be on this show. And, you know, all that MASC does for the community is really, I'm just, you know, admired by what they do and really just happy to be here and share some knowledge about, you know, trichotillomania.
Thank you. So, you know, if somebody were to Google trichotillomania, it says it's regarded by some researchers as a body-focused repetitive behavior. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to talk about what really is trichotillomania.
Okay. So trichotillomania is considered a body-focused repetitive behavior, just like skin picking. And actually, in the DSM, it's classified as an obsessive-compulsive related disorder. It's not obsessive-compulsive disorder, but it's a related disorder. And I'll go into a little bit talking about what actually the criteria is to meet this diagnostically. So, you know, if you just pull your hair a little bit, it's not going to be, you know, trichotillomania. Really, one needs to have this recurring pulling out of one's hair, resulting in hair loss, repeated attempts to decrease or stop the hair pulling, and the hair pulling has to cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning, and the hair loss is not attributed to another medical condition or another mental disorder. So the person needs to have this recurrent, it's irresistible urges to pull one's hair from either their scalp, their eyebrows, or any, you know, hair in any parts of the body. And in addition to that, repeated attempts to really stop this, but can't seem to stop. And there's often this, individuals with trichotillomania often feel this increasing sense of tension right before pulling or when attempting to resist, and feel a sense of gratification when pulling hair. So there's like right before you're feeling this, like you can't seem to resist it, but then after there's this feeling sense of gratification. So this is really what, you know, to sum it up, that's what trichotillomania is.
So Aliza, what are the causes for trichotillomania and also the reasons why people pull their hair?
Sure. So it's actually unclear why some people engage in these behaviors. You know, research does indicate that some people may have this like inherited predisposition. And, you know, of course, even if the predisposition is inherited, other factors such as temperament, environment, and age of onset and stress will play a role. So, you know, that's some of the causes. Really not, it's really unclear. I mean, well, you know, besides that, there might be some sort of, you know, they see in some families that there's definitely this, like, inherited disposition there.
So, Aliza, is trichotillomania considered self-harm? I mean, I'm sure there are some misunderstandings about trichotillomania, but specifically, is it self-harm?
No, it's actually not, and we're actually going to be talking about that in a little bit later, about some of the misunderstandings that, you know, people have around trichotillomania.
What are those misunderstandings?
So I want to just say one more thing about the causes for TTM, just one more point before we get into that. Is that that okay?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay. So, you know, some other reasons why people pull is, like, we've seen that people who pull have this, like, intense need to fiddle, like, with their hands and their mouth. So, like, they always need to be keeping their hands and their hands busy, their mouth busy, you know, so they're, like, often fidgeting. They also have this, like, they seek this, like, sensory stimulation. So that's why they really like that feeling of when they, like, pick from the scalp. That's, like, another reason. And also this, like, automatic pulling, that when people are pulling, they actually, because they do it automatically a lot of times, it's out of even thinking about it. It's as if their hands have a mind of their own. And also definitely, like, certain environments will cause people to hear pull more in certain places, certain rooms in the house, or wherever they are. Maybe it's while they're watching a movie and they're, like, doing something, you know, where they're not engaged in something and they're bored. We definitely see that there is some correlation with, like, emotions. Like, you know, if people are more stressed out, hair pulling does seem to relieve some tension for the moment. And then also, like, perfectionism also can cause pulling. So meaning, like, sometimes people get very frustrated by, like, their hair not being perfect. Like, and then they have, like, okay, I need to, like, pull this hair off so then all my split ends are even. So these are just some reasons why people pull. It's not the cause. But these are definitely some things that we see with people who do pull, that this intense, like, need to fiddle with their hands and, you know, seek that sensory stimulation constantly.
And does that include eyelashes? You know,
yes.
Some kids pulling their eyelashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be here anywhere in the body. So, like, eyelashes, eyebrows, some people even pull, like, their pet's hair, you know, or... So it definitely could be hair anywhere in the body.
But it's different than skin picking.
I mean, they're both considered body-focused repetitive behaviors, but one is skin picking and one is hair pulling. Some people do both. I actually have seen clients that do both because it's coming from the same place, you know, like that need to kind of, you know, fiddle and keep your hands busy and, you know, and stuff like that. So it definitely...
Reading a book, watching a movie, whatever, sitting on a bus. That could be their relaxing time or, like you said, their own stimulation where they're, you know, picking at themselves or pulling their hair, right?
Mm-hmm. And it could be more under pressure. Like, it's really, and that's why we'll talk about later how we really have clients, like, monitor where they're doing this. And what's causing them to do this, you know, in that moment, which we'll talk about a little later.
Right. What is the prevalence and age of the onset of trichotillomania? Excuse me.
It's shown that around 10 to 50% of young adults pull their hair, but only 2 to 3% experience noticeable hair loss and significant distress when pulling. And they're actually, females are more likely to present with trichotillomania, but it also may be because women are more likely to seek help. And, you know, the age of onset is approximately 13 years. And there is definitely this high comorbidity with psychiatric, you know, some, like, they definitely see, like, it's a 30, people who have anxiety are more, definitely more likely to pull, but it's not an anxiety disorder, and also people who have depression, there is some comorbidity with that as well. Like, there's, like, a 35% to 55% comorbidity with depression and 50% to 57% with anxiety disorders, and also, like, a some, you know, 23% to 35% with substance abuse disorders, which is just interesting just to see that.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. And some people I see, they pull on their cuticles, around their nails. That's an that's not considered an anxiety thing. It's the same concept.
People might do it more if they're anxious, but it doesn't cause. If someone's anxious, if someone has an anxiety, it's not considered an anxiety disorder, but definitely people will do it more if they're more anxious, kind of like it relieves some tension, and also because it just becomes a habit that it becomes this, like, automatic thing that they do.
Right. So...
So there is some correlation.
Right. So what do you tell parents who has a child that's struggling with trichotillomania?
So what I really like to say is, like, don't tell your child, you know, stop picking, why are you doing this? Or maybe, like, you know, let's just try, you know, like, really just, it's not something they could just stop. So really understanding that, like, this is something more than just something that they can just stop on their own, that this is something that's, it's something that has happened over time, where they've been doing this for a really long time, and they actually need professional help. So telling them just relax and come here and the pulling will stop, you know, we just need to relax, or why don't you stop, is not going to help. And I think that what I would want to tell parents really is, like, to really seek proper treatment and someone specifically who is trained in dealing with this, which we'll talk about later, you know, habit reversal training.
Right. So people that, you know, have trichotillomania, they do have spots on their head if they don't cover their hair, young kids, young adults, and they can have areas where they're really bald spots. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is shame and trichotillomania related?
So I see this all the time where people who pull are really embarrassed, and they often won't tell their therapist that they do this. I once had a client that I was working for a really long time who didn't tell me until we were working together for a year. I know someone who went into surgery, was about to have their intestines removed because the doctors had thought that they had some sort of, like, stomach problems. And really what it was that she was eating her hair, and this is what caused it. So there's a lot of shame around this, and it causes people to isolate. I was working with a teen once who really, she stopped hanging out with her friends because she was so embarrassed, and this really had a big impact on her self-esteem, the fact that she pulled. And once we really targeted on working on this, then her depression went down, her self-esteem increased, and then she really started, you know, really socializing more with her friends. So there's a strong correlation. People are really, really embarrassed about this, and people don't even know that there's actually a disorder. Like, they don't even know what this is, and they don't know that there's actually treatment for this. So that's why I'm, like, just really excited today to be able to share this knowledge with everyone.
So how do you feel, Elisa, about those fidgety spinners, you know, like activities to do instead, you know, those that struggle with picking under their hair or their skin? Do you recommend that they use, you know, other activities?
Yes, there definitely is. There's definitely, you know, in order to really help people with this, there's a couple of things that we want to keep in mind. There's something called, you know, the best treatment for this is called habit reversal training, which is actually under the umbrella of cognitive behavioral therapy. And what we really want to do is help helping clients become aware of where they do this, when they do this, what are their triggers, what are the thoughts, and then figure out other strategies that they can do instead, which is called the competing response, which are things like exactly what you're saying, like getting things to fidget with, like fidget spinners, silly putty, even taking like a knot of dental floss can kind of give that same stimulation for some people. They really need to find the things that work for them. And also at the same time, you want to also make it more difficult for them to pull. So using things like Band-Aids on their fingers to make it more difficult to pull, or wearing Vaseline on their eyelashes to make it more difficult to pull. So all these things together are really helpful in terms of helping people to stop with, to really work on breaking this habit.
Alisa, can you just explain for those that may not be familiar with cognitive behavioral therapy or even the dialectical behavioral therapy, just quickly, you mentioned they should do CBT or DBT or whatever. So can you just give like a quick overview so they know what that means when looking for the right therapy?
Yeah, sure. So cognitive behavioral therapy is really, you know, about how our thoughts and feelings and behaviors are all connected. And what we think and what we do are really going to, you know, have a big impact on the way we feel. Now, and dialectical behavioral therapy is based on CBT, but there's added components of learning skills like distress tolerance, mindfulness, and also this dialectical approach of, you know, two opposites can be true at the same time, and to stay, move away from black and white thinking, feeling, and doing, extreme ways of being, that often leads to problem behaviors. So going back to what we're talking about here is that habit reversal training is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. So even when looking for a practitioner, we want to make sure that they actually know about this specific modality of habit reversal training, which is really helpful for trichotillomania, which is actually the only treatment that's really out there that has shown significance in terms of reducing these behaviors.
So it's very frustrating for somebody that has trichotillomania because, like you said, they develop a habit, it becomes habitual for many, so then they have to then focus on whatever that anxiety or underlying depression or OCD or whatever it is they're suffering from, that it relieves them of that. So isn't it very difficult for them to stop the behaviors and at the same time work on what's causing the behaviors, the underlying issues?
Right. So usually it doesn't necessarily need, we don't need to know what the underlying issue is, meaning it's important to know thoughts, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get to the underlying issue. As we said, that this is actually something that there's not necessarily, doesn't mean trauma needed to cause this. So what we want to figure out is thoughts, meaning like, let's say someone has a thought of like, I'm never going to stop pulling. I might as well pull out all my hairs. So that's going to make them pull more. Or I pulled one hair, so I might as well pull all. So those type of thoughts is what we're looking for. Or maybe it's like they have a thought of, when they're really nervous, they start to notice that they do this because it releases some tension. So then we're going to want to work with that and figure out a way to really figure out a plan. Okay, you do this when you notice, you know, after they start tracking, see where they're doing this. Like, let's say we notice that they're pulling a lot when they're in their bed lying down and reading. Okay, so then we're going to set up a plan. When you lie down in bed, what you're going to do is, because it happens every night at 10 o'clock, you're going to put on gloves when you're reading to make this really hard for you. And and we're going to really plan strategies. Or maybe we'll dim the mirrors. You do this in the mirrors in their bathroom. Let's dim the lights. Or let's put a big sign over the mirror, don't pull. So we're really trying to create this environment for them where to set them up to really basically be able to overcome this pulling. I'm not going to get, you know, be able to talk a lot about this, but I use also like acceptance and commitment therapy strategies, because even if someone does work on with a plan, you know, of trying to figure out what are things I'm going to do so I don't pull, you know, other, it's not to think that they're not going to have urges is going to set them up for failure. And that's where I use ACT, which we're not going to talk about today, but basically this idea of like helping them accept their urges, that you're going to have those urges, but we don't need to act in them, and don't expect that the urges are not going to be there, because then you're going to be really disappointed, and that's going to actually make you want to pull more. So I use a lot of acceptance of urges, right? Like, you know, this idea that I use a lot of metaphors. Like, for example, if there's a shoe, if you have something stuck in the bottom of your shoe, and you might feel it some parts of the day, you might, right at times, sometimes you feel it, sometimes you won't feel it. So the same thing with urges. Sometimes they're going to feel really strong, and sometimes they're not going to feel as strong. But what we want to do is really focus on living our life based on our values, and also use all our habit reversal training strategies with it. And together, using ACT, acceptance commitment therapy, and habit reversal training can be really, really helpful. So for example, if someone has a strong value to, you know, to, let's say, go out and have fun, but instead they end up, what happens every time is that they're sitting in bed and they're pulling for hours. So their value to go and experience life, we focus on that. Let's focus on what your values are, and this actually really could help people then be more motivated to use their strategies of stopping to pull.
So are there medications for trichotillomania?
So there's no specific medications to treat this, to treat trichotillomania. There has been shown that SSRIs and SNRIs can be used to, like, basically reduce some of the symptoms, like to lessen the feelings and sensations that increase picking, but it doesn't necessarily treat the disorder itself. And sometimes clients will even use medications just to help them with using the strategies, meaning sometimes people can't even use the strategies because their sensations feel so strong. So, you know, it has shown to be somewhat effective, but really, as I can say, like, the main thing is really behavioral therapy treatment of habit reversal training. And medication alone could be helpful. But I really have to say that the behavioral treatment is really the way to go.
Very important. And helpful. You've helped so many people that suffer from trichotillomania and over the years, and Center for Anxiety is a wonderful place to go as well, locally in Brooklyn, if you're not sure what kind of therapy you want to do with an individual under a group setting, in a clinic setting. There are so many different ways to get help. CBT, DBT. I know you also run DBT groups. Mm-hmm. Are those groups for adults? Are they for children? And are they specifically for trichotillomania?
No, there are for adults, and no, not necessarily for trichotillomania, but for anyone really struggling with depression, you know, the DBT groups that I run are really focused on learning skills to help people, you know, mindfulness skills, emotion regulation skills, distress tolerance skills, interpersonal effectiveness skills to really help people, and those skills help people with anxiety, relationships, depression, and problem behaviors of it. You know, addiction or self-harm. But it could be helpful to join the group if someone does have trichotillomania, because the distress tolerance skills could help people as well with trichotillomania, like being able to basically push off an urge. You know, and learning some skills to kind of not act on the urges in the moment, distress tolerance skills could really help as well. So I do like to also implement some DBT when working with clients with trichotillomania.
Alisa, is there a way that we can ask you to give out some names of books or resources for trichotillomania for my listeners, please?
Yes, sure. So I love The Hair Pulling Habit and You. That's like that book, even though it's like more kid friendly, adults love it too. It's really it gives great ideas for different strategies to help with the pulling, and even like working along. You know, it's always best to work alongside with a therapist with this, but it's really, really just helpful, even for people. It was very validating, so that could be really helpful. And also, I love that ACT. There's like a group of Treatment That Works series. The ACT Enhanced Behavior Therapy Approach by Douglas Wood is really great because it's specifically the one on helping people with trichotillomania. That book is really, really helpful. It brings ACT along with trichotillomania, which I find so helpful. So it's the Treatment That Works series, specifically the one on trichotillomania. And there's also a website called bfrb.org that also has a great, great resources on helping people with body-focused repetitive behaviors such as trichotillomania, skin picking.
Well, thank you very much. It's wonderful having you on, Elisa. And just right before we end our show, for those that are just coming on, Elisa Trapper, licensed psychotherapist, if you can just, again, give us the DSM definition for trichotillomania for those that maybe just came in the middle, and I want them to hear what the DSM is.
Sure. So the DSM classifies it as recurring pulling out of one's hair resulting in hair loss, repeated attempts to decrease or stop the hair pulling, and that the hair pulling causes clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning, and that also that the hair loss is not attributed to another medical condition or other mental health disorder.
All
so
right.
That's the criteria.
Well, thank you very much for being on. Very informative. I really appreciate having you on, and continue to work with you with so many families that are in need. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on here today. I really, it was a pleasure. And again, I'm just so thankful to have that opportunity to be on here. I'm really just in awe of really of what MASS does for so many families.
Thank you. And again, our number is 718-758-0400. And you can go on to our website, massparents.org, and we post all our shows on the website so you can listen to any of the previous shows if you're interested. All right, I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
And we're back with another Erev Shabbat Live, heard on 620 AM WSNR every Thursday night at 9:30 PM. I'm your host, Nathan Zalta, inviting you to join me, this week's special guest, AJ Gindi from Renewal.org. Erev Shabbat Live every Thursday night on 620 AM WSNR 9:30 PM. For further information, email erevshabbatlive@gmail.com. Looking forward to spending time with you, and have a great Shabbat.
This is Chaim Deitch. This Tuesday, June 23rd, I will be on your ballot for United States Congress. I'm asking for you to please come out and vote for me in this critical election that will determine your representation in Washington. You can vote for me, Chaim Deitch, this Tuesday, June 23rd, at your regular polling station. You can also vote until June 21st at an early polling site. Find yours at www.vote.nyc. Paid for by Chaim for Congress.
You don't have to feel defenseless and hopeless. Yes, there are measures you can take to help prevent the coronavirus. There is more you can do than just wearing masks and social distancing. Studies show that certain vitamins and minerals can reduce the risk of getting coronavirus and may reduce the severity of the infection. Dr. Kelman and the Kelman Wellness Center can help you. Dr. Kelman also treats patients with the coronavirus infection with a treatment of high-dose oral and intravenous vitamin C, as well as with various herbs and supplements. Dr. Kelman can send a lab to your home to test for the coronavirus and antibodies. You don't have to wait online at an urgent care center with people who might be carriers of the virus. To reach Dr. Rafael Kelman for a consultation, call 833-MD-HELP-ME. That's toll-free. 833-MD-HELP-ME, and online at kelmancenter.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
Thank you for tuning in to... TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.